Welcome to another message from LifePoint Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on LifePoint Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer that this message will help you live in focus every day.
What a topic that we are going to speak on, one of my favorite topics in regarding missions, incredible heart. I'm so thankful that your pastor shares the vision and leadership to have missions at a pivotal point in our life, and we understand that. And I want to talk about the subject this morning of being all in for the human right. And I don't know if you are familiar with the term the human right, but we're going to get to that in just a few moments. But if you haven't noticed, there are a lot of people in our world that are all in about a lot of things. At the beginning of the year, probably after we get through the prayer and fasting stage of the first couple of weeks, it seems like we're all in for diet. And then it goes away so quickly. Yeah, some of us are like, no, because some of us only exercise so that we can eat. That's me. But being all in for diet, being all in for exercise, some of those things are great. Right now, we know that a lot of people are all in for politics, or at least the idea. And let me just, I haven't done this yet, so let me just publicly endorse Jesus Christ this morning. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He is the one that we need to be lifting up and stamping our vote for. But people are in for financial, all in for financial adjustments, goals, expectations. Congratulations, by the way. I know that your pastor has been all in for the Broncos for a long time. And I did text you and congratulate with you. I rejoice with you. I'm so happy for you. Sorry that your man is leaving tomorrow. He's announcing tomorrow that he's retiring. I broke it here. But anyway, sorry. Then you got the other side. You got the other side of the spectrum in the same division. But you know, Jacob has been all in for the Chiefs for so long, and holding out hope. Ever since the AFL and black and white days, that's the last time they won. But he's all in. That's what you got to admire about the guy. That's all that matters, is that he is all in. When I think all in, I think about the days growing up, I used to really enjoy swimming. And I don't know what kind of person you are, but for me, when it's time to go swimming, I don't like to just kind of dip my foot in and just kind of feel what it is. I like to jump in, you know, just jump in the pool at the deep end, no matter what it is, and feel just all in. That's the way I am. People are all in when it comes to dating. Now, guys, I know it may not be your anniversary, we're past Valentine's Day, but you need to remember, and all of us need to remember those special times that hopefully you're still dating your wife, you're still taking her out, and you're enjoying her company, you're taking her to a nice meal, giving her a break, doing some dishes, and doing some stuff around the house. But remember when we were all in, and we held nothing back, we changed the way that we dressed. Maybe the way that we talked, we spared no expense. Hopefully that doesn't change. Hopefully we didn't get the ring on our finger and then say, okay, it's all good now. But no, we continue that, and we continue being all in. And then probably my favorite idea of being all in is, remember the hokey pokey? Don't you just want to do the hokey pokey right now? In church, how awesome would that be? You put your right arm in. Nobody's singing it. You put your right arm out. You put your right arm in and then you do what? You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around, because that's what it's all about. So I think of all in, and those things are a lot of fun, but there's some more important things in the spiritual sense of being all in. And when I look at the Bible, I look at the number of characters, the number of biblical stories, there are several that stand out who were all in for mankind, all in for their people. I think about Nehemiah and the incredible work that was before him and that God said, hey, you need to be all in. And he said, I'm going to be that person. I think about Esther and how her people were being so mistreated and so many things that were happening against her people where she said, God, I'm going to be all in for you and I'm going to make a difference. And so that brings me to one that I want to talk about that, you know, doesn't really get a whole lot of pub when you think about people that are all in. But just a few years ago, even though that most of the movie, as far as trying to be biblically correct, was incorrect, there were a couple things that stood out to me. And it's the character Noah. And so you can turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 6. We're going to read just a few verses. Many of us are familiar with this story, but I do want to point out some things that we are looking at. Beginning in verse 5 of chapter 6, we see the backdrop and the reason why. Because so many people want to focus on the judgment of God. They want to focus on what God did and how he did it by destroying the earth with a flood. And we understand that. But we skip the beginning. We skip the reason why God came to this point. And it says it right here in verse 5. The Lord saw how bad the people on earth were, and that everything they thought and planned was evil. So think about that for just a moment. God's looking down in heaven, and just a few chapters before in Genesis, he said that everything was good. All of the plants and all of the water and the skies and the stars and the animals. And he said it was all good, including the people. And it's amazing how in just a few chapters, everything changes because people made a choice. Adam and Eve made a choice, and that started that downward spiral. And then it gets to this point where now mankind is not just doing a few acts that were evil, doing a few things that were not good, but it says everything that they thought and planned was evil. And then we start to see the heart of God in verse 6. He was sorry that he made them. And he said, I'm going to destroy every person on earth. I'll even wipe out animals, birds, and reptiles. I'm sorry I ever made them. But notice, as in the middle of this bleakness, in the middle of this darkness, and really this tragedy of what we see and hear the heart of God, look at verse 8. But the Lord was pleased with Noah. And this is the story about him. Noah was the only person who lived right and obeyed God. Father, thank you that your word is anointed. Thank you for this great time of worshiping you and coming together in unity and enjoying the Lord's Supper. And I just ask that you will help us in these next few moments, that we will not only hear what your words are saying, but we will know very clearly what your Spirit is speaking to us, and that we will put into action what you want us to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's kind of crazy when I read the story of Noah and I think about what is happening in the days of Noah and how, even though it's thousands of years later, it's so similar to what is happening today in our culture. I mentioned that the movie Noah that came out a couple of years ago was very inaccurate biblically. But a couple of good things that came out of it was the number of downloaded or viewed portions of this scripture, specifically from the YouVersion Bible app, drastically went up, incredibly went up. So what that is saying, that it sparked an interest in, hey, I don't necessarily know. I've kind of heard maybe the Bible story of Noah, and I see this, but let me find out for myself. And people began to read the Word of God. That's always a good thing. The other thing that I noticed from the movie was that it really did a great job of showing how evil people were and the choices that they made in the time of Noah. And it's not much different today. There were warning signs in the time of Noah, and I believe that there are warning signs in the time of today. But unfortunately, we as a people don't listen all the time to the warning signs. It goes all the way back to when the city of New Orleans was founded in 1718. Only 4 years later, a hurricane destroyed it. So the governor of Louisiana warned the people that the city was built too low. Parts of it were below sea level, but they chose to allow it to remain there anyway. So that was back in the 1700s. Now, in 2000, the Army Corps of Engineers recommended that the city be strengthen their dikes, and it was an estimated cost of $30 million. Now, I'm pretty sure that all of us, no matter how much money we have in the bank, think that that is a lot of money. But the officials decided that it was too expensive. $30 million. 5 years later, we know Hurricane Katrina slammed into the coast, killing 1,800 people. And you know how much it cost to rebuild that? $81 billion. That's just from a financial standpoint. But think about the things that are happening in our culture today. There's shootings all the time that are going on in our schools, and people going to a movie theater. You can't even think about sometimes that something is going to happen. The religious persecution, the poverty, the human trafficking, the sexual perversion, the bullying. And I believe that God is just like in the time of Noah when he says he looked out and he saw what was happening. I believe that God was sad at that time. And I believe in many cases he's probably got to be thinking the exact same thing today. Am I saying that God's going to destroy our world by a flood? Well, obviously not, because we know the promise of God that that's not going to happen. But that doesn't mean that there aren't going to be some judgments that are taking place, or maybe are taking place here and now. But God saw something special in Noah. Remember, in the middle of that, in verses 5, 6, and 7, we hear about the negativity, we hear about the ugliness, but then there's this beam of sunshine, there's this smile that seems to come on God's face when he looks down, and in the middle of all that darkness, he's able to spot one individual that, I don't know about you, that is hard for me to comprehend when I read that it says that Noah is the only one that did right by God. I can't even imagine that. But how incredible it would be to be that one person. Even though standing in the gap is costly, it requires a sacrifice of time and energy and money and even our hearts. I believe that there are people across this world that are rising to the challenge. Some are in this room. I get to work with students a lot, and I know that this generation can be viewed at and talked about as selfish and self-entitled and thinking about themselves, but I can tell you that there are people, there are middle school and high school students that sit in youth groups on Wednesday nights or Sunday nights or whenever it is, or be here in a service like this, and there are people just like you that the voice of God speaks to their heart. The word of God penetrates their life and it says, hey, let me be somebody like Noah in my world today to stand in the gap and be all in for the human right. So that brings us to the question, well, what is the human right? Well, we are all familiar that there are a lot of causes around the world. And one of the main causes that happens is that everybody thinks that everybody should have the right to clean water. We take for granted, some of you probably have water bottles here in this place today, and whether it's going to your refrigerator and getting some water out or going to a ball game, like I go with my kids to a ball game and I'm thirsty and I go to the concession stand, all of a sudden they say that'll be $3, and I'm like, are you kidding me? $3? What a ripoff. I can go and I can buy it, you know, and then I pull out my $3 because I'm stuck and I'm thirsty and that's what I do. But you know, around the world, they don't have it like we do. There are so many countries around the world that do not have great, clean drinking water. One of the worst countries in the world for water at the time that I went, it was the number one worst rated water in the world, was Haiti. I know your pastor has been there, and I remember going and seeing this this hole with water in it, and seeing a family that had just brought their animals to drink, and then seeing another family who just brought their kids to come and bathe, and then another family that would bring their dishes, if you will, to come and clean their dishes, all in the same pot of water. And I couldn't wrap my head around it, and I started thinking, what is wrong with us that we're not standing in the gap and being all in to make sure that everybody has clean drinking water? And praise God that there are missionaries that raise money and be able to provide those incredible little simple gadgets that can take and fill up a water bottle and put that neutralizer in there and all of a sudden be able to do that. Because we would all say, you know what, everybody deserves the right to have clean drinking water. But I think we would also probably agree that everybody has deserves the right to be able to eat. We've seen the videos. We've seen the pictures of starving kids and families around the world. And maybe as you're driving through your community or some city or traveling or whatever, you see the people that have the signs, and we've seen the homeless and we've seen those who are without food, and it breaks our heart, and we try and do our part. But all of us would say, somebody should do something. Everybody deserves the right to eat. And as great and as powerful as those are, I believe that there is one right that is greater than both of those. Not to be insensitive to those, but I believe that the greatest human right that there is that everybody deserves the right to know Jesus. I believe that everybody deserves the right to know Jesus. Maybe you didn't hear it the first time. I know your pastor did. Maybe we should come to a point where, yes, all of those felt needs and all the compassion things are great, but we cannot minimize the fact that there is a lost and dying world of over 7 billion people, over 3 billion of which have not heard the name of Jesus and have not had an opportunity to reject him. We are so blessed to be able to worship him and to thank him for his grace and thank him for his mercy. That's what we did just a few moments ago. But may we never forget that God is love and that everyone has a right to know him, or at least have the opportunity to know him. And just like in the days of Noah, we may not always know how much we'll have to sacrifice when we say yes to God. Because it didn't matter. He was all in. If you think about it, Noah, he didn't know what an ark was. What's an ark, or what's this boat? Because as far as we know, it had only been a few chapters into the beginning of creation. We don't even know that they ever knew what rain was. And all of a sudden, God says, hey, I'm going to do this, and here's what I want you to do. He gave such specific instructions. And I've got to be thinking, Noah's like, man, I don't even know what this is. I don't even know what I'm building. And I can imagine his wife is saying, why are you spending so much time in the shop? And the kids are saying, Dad, what are you making out there? And he's like, I have no idea. I just know what God has told me to do. And I'm going to do it and be all in. But when we do obey God and we please him, it's amazing what happens when we respond. What lives are changed when we just simply obey. When I think of those individuals who, like many of you, maybe own your own business, or like a CEO or supervisor or something like that, and all of a sudden God taps them on the shoulder and begins to whisper in their ear and say, leave that. Leave that great job. Leave that incredible salary. Leave that security and go and make a difference for my kingdom. I am always amazed, because without a doubt, they'll just say, yes, Lord, I don't understand it, but I will do it. When I think about students who are extremely gifted and talented, whether it's being able to play sports and have scholarships, or whether academically they have great grades and they get these scholarships, and all of a sudden they say, you know what? I know that this is the path that the world wants me to go, or mom and dad wants me to go, or I have this scholarship to do this, but you know what? God has spoken to me, and I can't help. I'm compelled by love to be all in. And God, I'm going to leave it behind, and I'm going to follow you. What a difference it makes. It happens when God's Spirit moves in our lives and He touches and melts our hearts. We become more like Him. We begin to change. We want more of what He wants. And in Hebrews 11, 17, you see it on the screen. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that is keeping in with his faith. I love the world that God has allowed us to take part in and the mission of that. But I also love Kansas. As people ask where I'm from, I'm originally from Indiana, but now being in Kansas, you know, almost 25 years, my kids have been born and raised here. I'm Kansan. And I'm so proud of that. Even though around the country, people are like, do you guys even have malls there? And I'm like, what's wrong with you? Do you think we're all, what, you know, farmers? That we're not all like, it's just, I don't understand that. But I tell people around the country and around the world, we may not have all of the incredible this, and we may be number 50 on the vacation states in the country. But you know what? It's an incredible place to raise our family. And I'll put our people up against anybody in the country. And I love Kansas. But when I think about Kansas, when I think about over 2.89 million inhabitants of Kansas, all of the inhabitants, 1.6 million of them are unclaimed for Jesus. When you hear that number, what does it do to your heart? When I think about I just found this out a couple of weeks ago in Sedgwick County, which is very close to here, 58%. 58%. I've lived in Sedgwick County for over 20 years, and I didn't realize how high it was. 58% have no religious affiliation of any kind. I think about that being everywhere else in the world, but not in my backyard. That breaks my heart. I think about our schools, 308 school districts in Kansas, 470,000 total students from pre-K to 12th grade, 486,000 people. Our schools matter. It's God's mission field. Our middle schools and high schools. Don't stop praying for our schools. Don't stop praying for the administration. Don't stop praying for the students. Don't stop praying for the youth leaders that go on the campuses. And sometimes all they are able to do is have a simple lunch and hang out with students. There's a reason to bring some light in the middle of the darkness. Which leads me to being all in for the human right in regards to Speed the Light. Speed the Light, many of you are familiar with, but many of you are not. Jesus is the light of the world, and He has allowed us to be carriers of that light. And it may be to your neighbor, it may be to your coworker, it may be to your classmate, it may be to a stranger, it may be to your enemy, but we are all challenged to go into our world and carry the light of Jesus. And it's done through a variety of different ways. It's done through essential transportation. You see, what happens is our missionaries around the world are in need of being able to get to where they need to go, just like you and I do. But it's not the same as what a student would say is essential. Because I have three kids and three teenagers, and every one of them think that to them, essential is, I got to have a car so I can go to the mall. Or I got to have a car so that I can go hang out with my friends, or I can go to a movie, or I can get away from the house. Well, us as parents and a little bit more seasoned, we understand, oh, young Padawan kids, you don't understand what essential is. But you and I also, in many ways, don't understand what essential is. Because we are blessed if we need a car. We can either get a loan or we can go buy a car or work and do what we need to do. But our missionaries don't always have that right, that opportunity. Because you see, they're in so many different places around the world and in so many different situations. They are totally dependent. They are leaving the security behind of their home and sometimes their family and their culture, going to a place where they don't know the language, they don't know the people, they've never been before. And in some cases, essential to them is things like a yak. I love saying that word. That's just fun. How often do you get to say yak? In some places, like Russia, now we have not had a winter this year. We understand that. Matter of fact, we really desperately need some rain that's supposed to be coming. But as much as we love the warm weather and the nice sunshine, but we could use some snow. The East Coast got some snow earlier this year, but Russia, they know snow. And you know, a Honda Civic in Moscow is not going to do a lot of good. Because it's a low rider, it's not, it just does, it doesn't have much power. I've owned a couple of them. But you know what is essential to a missionary in Russia? A snowmobile. And you know what? That is a speed the light vehicle for that missionary. In Haiti, in some places, because of the places that we had to go and where they would go up to the different villages and the different places that couldn't go by a car or by a vehicle, to that missionary, a speed the light vehicle, if you will, essential transportation is a mule. To our missionary in Chile and South America, it is a speed the light boat, not so that they can go jet skiing or that they can have all kinds of fun and go deep sea fishing. No, it's so that they can save physical lives of people, but also spiritual lives. Because that's what speed the light does. It provides essential transportation. It also provides creative communication. If I don't know about you, but I love technology when it works for me. And I love it. It's so amazing how God has given people such incredible creativity and wisdom and intelligence to do that. And I love how God is inspiring people to use that for His glory. For many of you, and I know our youth leaders and our students know this, but there was a movie a couple of years ago that came out, God's Not Dead. It was an incredible movie about apologetics and teaching our campus students about God and understanding their faith and things like that. And the new one is coming out actually next month. And the human right is going to be woven all throughout that movie. The Assemblies of God has partnered with the creators of that movie, PureFlix, and it's going to be woven all the way through that. And at the very end, people are going to have an opportunity. There's going to be a thing on the screen that's going to tell them about speed the light and the human right, and they can go and find out more information about that. Creative communication. We think about incredible technology that we have and the mics and the sound systems and the instruments and things like that. You see, God is using the new wave of being able to reach people around the world. And it can be done in China. You see on the screen, there are a couple of tablets and things like that because China has 1.3 billion people. It's the number two language in the world is Mandarin Chinese, which is double that of English. That's hard for us to understand. And with all of those people, for $1 a course, we can put Bible college technology on a tablet just like that so that people who come to know Jesus and people who feel called to be pastors and missionaries can go into the world and they can have the training and knowing what it means to know Jesus and to study Him. It's happening in India as well. Its population is exceeding 1.2 billion people and it's projected to be the world's largest, surpassing China by 2025. There are over 2,300 unreached people groups who are trapped in spiritual darkness. And check this out, for $150. Parents, hold on for a minute because I have one in college and I have another one going in college in this year. And when I hear this, at first it's like kind of makes you upset. But then the Spirit of God gets a hold of me and I start to realize for $150, a tablet. We can put 4 years of Bible college material for pastors in India to be raised up and trained so that they can go into the world, they can plant churches, they can reach all of those $1.2 billion. Now, I know how much textbooks cost. If you've been to college, you know how much it is. And at over $500 a credit hour for a university like Southwestern Assemblies of God University. That is crazy. But God is using communication and creativity in a powerful way. And He's using speed the light to provide that. but it's also about compassionate demonstration. I want you to watch this video about a ministry that I know many of you are familiar with called Convoy of Hope. Some of you were a part of the outreach that took place last year, and I want you to watch this and check this out as we find out more about this incredible ministry that does compassionate demonstration called Convoy of Hope. What an amazing ministry that is doing some incredible things. You see some pictures. I know many of you helped last year at the Wichita outreach. Convoy of Hope, you see right there, the logo now is beginning to get a little bit of faded. But Convoy of Hope provides the tractor trailer trucks that provide all those supplies when disaster strike around the world. It just happened in Fiji. Fortunately, that storm wasn't as bad as they anticipated. But when there's tsunamis and earthquakes and all kinds of disasters, when people are rushing out, Convoy of Hope is rushing in. And in Wichita, at our outreach, 8,400 people were served, 595 haircuts, 300 portraits, 752 women came through for breast cancer awareness, 1,872 pairs of kids' shoes, 1,500 backpacks with school supplies, over 2,000 women's shoes passed out, and over 900 volunteers. And we're believing for 10,000 people this August. Why? Because what happens is that they come and they're given some fun stuff, as you see the pictures and as they're scrolling through. They're given the fun stuff, and the kids are taken care of, and there's food and there's entertainment. And that begins to break down the walls. And after they go through for a couple of hours, now all of a sudden we've begun to help people with their felt needs. And then people are able to say, yeah, wow, they just really care. And then they make their way to a prayer tent. And we're able to pray with people, and they're able to accept Jesus Christ. And on the very last thing, as they walk out, we're able to hand them some groceries. Because people are all in for the human right, just simply so that all those people can know Jesus. And I'm so thankful for students across this state who are also all in They do it a variety of ways. I have here just a simple Pringles can, and I hope you, if you haven't had Pringles, get the pizza ones. They are the best. And students will, they'll get some Pringles, and they'll eat the Pringles, and then they'll go around, and they'll just allow this to be filled, and they'll fill it themselves. And I've heard of students who've taken it to Chinese restaurants and just had them fill, and they begin to tell. They go to grandma's, and they go to grandpa's, and they go to their schools, and they do that. Why? Because when they come back and they fill it over and over and over again, that supplies the needs for our missionaries. They do fundraisers, and they do things like one girl who decided that she was going to walk so that missionaries could drive. She gave the keys to her car to her parents and for a month said, you know what? I'm going to walk so that missionaries can ride. I'm going to walk to school. I'm going to walk to work. I'm going to walk to these different places, and I'm going to ask people to support me for Speed the Light. And at the end of that month, she raised over $3,000 for Speed the Light. Who says that students are all selfish? Who says that they won't do something greater than themselves? Another girl, Northwest Kansas, Agra, almost to Nebraska. Her name's Courtney. Our students heard about her this past year at convention. Just a little over a year ago, Courtney was at our youth convention and was challenged to do something for Speed the Light. She was already kind of like a little missionary. She actually felt called to be a missionary to Scotland. But she didn't want to wait until she went to that country. She didn't want to wait until she graduated from high school. She wanted to do something now, and she would reach her friends, and she would lead people to Jesus. And you see a picture of her where she decided to do our human right challenge, where for 30 days our students would wear the same T-shirt for every day. And that's going to draw attention. And it said, silence is the enemy of truth. And they would get pledges, and as people would say, hey, why are you wearing that shirt? They would begin to say, this is why, and be able to share Jesus with them. And for 30 days, she did that. She was able to leave some of her friends to the Lord. That was in November. The following February, on her way to school, she was not texting, she was not on her phone, she was just simply driving at 15 years old to school, and her right tire got caught on the side of the road. She overcorrected, and Courtney was immediately killed on her way to school that morning. Her youth pastor did her funeral. And at her funeral, several of her classmates came to know Jesus. But her parents decided that Courtney loved missions and she had such a great heart and she was all in for the human right that they set up a fund, a memorial fund on her behalf. And over $50,000 has come in so far during that time since then. And her story has been told around the world. Matter of fact, I got word that a couple in or a family in Italy heard the story somehow and they accepted Jesus Christ. Because it's all about being all in for the human right. What will we do? What is God doing and speaking to us about? You see, God has called us to build an ark, not a physical ark, but the church, and to go outside the walls of the church in the flood of wickedness that's in our culture. Who are we going to invite aboard? Noah stood in the gap for mankind. You and I can stand in the gap for a few, maybe just one. It's an honor and a privilege to be all in for the human right. And the fact that he chose us to partner with is absolutely amazing. Before we think it's all about money, just remember, it's essential transportation, it's creative communication, it's compassionate demonstration, but it boils down to this, so that souls can be saved and lives changed. That's what it's all about. And I know that we may have some excuses, but as we close, I want us to watch this video, and ushers, if you will get ready as we get ready to have an offering for Speed the Light this morning. happens when we partner with the Lord. In the state of Kansas, we've been averaging about $150,000 raised each year for Speed of the Light. It's amazing. Amazing how God is blessed. Last year in 2015, when churches across this state joined together and then joined with other churches across the nation, $8.3 million was given to Speed the Light. That's incredible. Think of about for every dollar four people come to know Jesus. That's over 32 million people that will have an opportunity to know Jesus. I'm just asking that God will speak to our hearts. My wife and I, we believe in the human right so much, and we believe in partnering together, and my wife and I are going to give the first $100 to join with your church this morning as we give. And so would you pray with me, and would you be open to what God wants to do in and through us? Thank you, Jesus. First of all, I thank you right now for every one of us who have a personal relationship with you. We have so much to thank you for. We have so much to give you praise for. We are so grateful for your grace and mercy. And Jesus, if there is anyone in this place today that does not have a personal relationship with you, I ask that as you speak to their hearts so much, that they would just simply talk to you, that they would just simply tell you how much they are sorry for the things that they have done wrong, that they will ask you to come into their life, and you say very clearly in your word that you will come in, that you will cleanse them of all of the guilt and all of the garbage and the sin of the things that they've done wrong. And I ask that they would willingly allow you to be the leader of their life. And what a new creation you will make them right here, right now. But Jesus, I also ask that you will help us to do our part. For those of us who have a personal relationship with you, that we will care about those who are unlost. Those who are lost here in this state, those who are lost in our communities, our schools, our families, and also around the world. You will help us to say the words. Be the witness. Be like Noah and be righteous before and be a light to this world. We pray for our missionaries. We ask that you would bless them, that you would provide for them. And Father, let us do our part financially right here, right now, that we would be all in and join with the other churches across the state and across this country to make a huge difference. We want to be all in. We ask that you would do that even now, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you give this morning, and thank you, students, for helping us as we give to the human right and Speed the Light this morning.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.